Over the last 3 weeks, we've encouraged you to be unashamed in your home, in your neighborhood, and in your workplace. And there's one place that we want for you to consider today that may seem an unusual place to consider being unashamed of the gospel of. But as we look at the statistics on what's happening today in the modern church here, especially in the United States, there's some numbers that we see that are concerning. Of the estimated 250,000 churches that are here in the United States, 200,000 of them are either stagnant or in decline. Every year, 4,000 churches close their doors. There's less than half of the number of churches today than there was only 100 years ago. And every single day, 3,500 people walk away from their local church. Since 1950, there are a third less churches now than there were in the 50s in the United States. And we happen to believe, and according to God's word, there's a specific reason for that. We want you to consider today how you and how the word would encourage us to be unashamed of the gospel in our church. So as Pastor Terry comes and brings you the word, I want you to consider what it means for you to be unashamed of the gospel right here at Crossbridge Church.
Go ahead and grab your study sheets and open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's on page 996 if you have the hardbound black Bible that's in the chair in front of you. It sounds so strange to say, be unashamed of the gospel in your church. But in society today, we must be unashamed of the gospel in our church. Did you hear those shocking statistics that's telling us that the church is dying? 3,500 people every day walk away from the church. But what is it dying from? Well, the truth of the matter is that it's dying from a lack of biblical truth being taught within the church. The gospel has been and continues to be compromised in churches across America. And so I would encourage you today to choose wisely where you worship. Because the gospel has changed. It has been changed from repentance, confession, and trust in Christ to gospel based on feelings, emotions, wealth, prosperity. It's often called prosperity theology. Another reason is that some churches are teaching a work-based gospel that robs God of the glory. You can earn your way to heaven is what they teach. They don't say that, but they tell you do this, 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 and maybe you'll make it to heaven. But that's not the gospel that Christ or Paul preached. It's a counterfeit gospel. And so let me be clear. Here at Crossbridge, we are continuing, we are committing ourselves to be unashamed of the gospel. It is out of our deep love for God that drives us to be obedient, that pushes us to pursue the lost with the gospel. And out of love for them, we pursue them. Paul summed it up best in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Repeat that with me and use some heart and put some emotion into it. Let's read. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Very good. You see, we've got to wrap our heads around this truth that we as a body of believers are united for one great cause. And that cause is to stand for the gospel of Christ. That's important. We're to stand for that. We're to be unashamed of the gospel. Therefore, we're calling on each and every one of you who are true believers, who are followers of Christ, to be unashamed of the gospel and to be unashamed of the gospel in your home. That means sharing the gospel with your kids, sharing the gospel with your spouse, your parents, your grandparents, your uncles and aunts, your cousins, but being unashamed of the gospel and sharing that gospel in your home. Not only in your home, but being unashamed of the gospel in your neighborhood. Just taking it outside of the four walls of your home to the people around you. We're not asking you to come out for a special meeting, go here and there. What we're saying, dude, is be missional. Be on purpose where you're at. Be unashamed where you're at of the gospel. Take that gospel to your neighbors. Carry it to them and expose them to the truths of God's word, that the Holy Spirit and God would call them to salvation, that they would be saved. We're calling you to be unashamed of the gospel in your workplace. Yes, there is an opportunity for persecution, but no one suffered more than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to suffer. And so what I want us to understand this morning is that we have a responsibility. And today, I want to challenge you to be unashamed of the gospel in your church. Now, God gave us a Jerusalem church as a perfect example or model for the church and for Crossbridge. And I'm going to repeat this through this series every week so that you get what the church is to look like. It tells us here that the church, the traits of the early church in Jerusalem, was that they devoted themselves to prayer. That means in home, praying with your kids, with your spouse. That means praying with your family members. It means reaching out to them. It may mean also walking outside your four walls, walking down the street, and praying for house by house, praying for them that you would be a light in the dark world of their home, that they would come to the knowledge of Christ. It means not only in prayer in home, but also in our neighborhood, being in prayer at the workplace. God, help me to be unashamed of the gospel in my workplace. For those who at break time are struggling with something, just say, hey, can I have prayer with you? Can I do that? I'd love to pray for you over that. But be unashamed. Yes, some will mock you. Yes, some will make fun of you. Yes, some may say, oh, and just put you down for all that you believe. But I just want you to understand that it is our commission and our calling to be unashamed of the gospel, to be unashamed of our God, our Savior, to be unashamed of the Holy Spirit, that God is God and we worship Him and we're unashamed of that. You know, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devotions with your spouse, devotions with your kids, devotions with your in-laws, with your aunts and uncles, cousins, devotions, taking the gospel into your home and sharing that gospel and being devoted to the gospel. That's the importance of it here. And so we find that they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. And the thing is, not only in the home, but be devoted to that gospel, the teaching of it, even in your neighborhood. Find opportunities to share Christ. Find opportunities to share Christ in your workplace. Find opportunities, as we found, that they're devoted to prayer, they're devoted to the apostles' teaching, and all who believe were together. I'm so glad that you're here today, but where is everybody else? This early church, when it came time to worship, they were there. There was nothing more important than worshiping God. You see, that was who they had to look to. They were unashamed of Him. There were no other priorities greater than the worship of God. And they had all things in common. When someone had needs, they helped meet each other's needs. And they spoke with boldness. They were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so we find this church in Acts, and it was modeled. It was modeled even in Ephesus. But that once modeled church at Ephesus began to feel the effects of persecution. Believers all across the empire were suffering terrible persecution for their faith. Members and even leaders within the church at Ephesus began to defect from the truth, mostly due to persecution, but others, they turned away from the truth of the gospel. They turned their backs on the gospel. And so it was there that the Apostle Paul, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, placed a young Timothy to be the guardian and the defender of the faith. So listen now as the Apostle Paul begins to speak in his letter directly to this young Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 5, listen as Paul speaks to him. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now, you have to understand here, Paul gives us a little background. We're going to read verse 6, 7, and 8. It gives us background to understand why he's charging Timothy. He says here in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing." So let's just begin here with the fact that the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome, awaiting his death. And he tells us in that part that he's writing young Timothy, and he's going to give Timothy a charge, and he's going to give his final charge. This is the last thing that Paul has written, according to scholars. The last charge that he's giving, and he starts with, "I charge you, Timothy." Now, that word charge means to warn, to testify solemnly, to admonish or instruct someone with regard to some future action. It carries the implication of being very personal. This letter would not surprise me if it were tear-stained, a parchment from Paul as he pours out his instructions from his heart to a young Timothy. Listen as he begins with, "I charge you in the presence of God." I charge you in the presence of God. Paul's saying, Timothy, God himself is present at this charge. I want you to understand that everything that you do is in God's presence. God is watching what you're doing. You know that's applicable to us today. God is present in our lives, whether we recognize it, whether we see God or not, because we can't see him. We often think out of sight, out of mind. But here, Paul is telling young Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God. And then he continues, I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of Jesus Christ. I also want you to understand that the Lord, our Redeemer, your Redeemer, my Redeemer, he's watching as I deliver this charge and as you respond to it. You are accountable to God and to Christ. And then he continues, I charge you, Timothy, who is the judge of living and the dead, speaking of Christ, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is judge of the living and the dead. Timothy, I want you to remember this, that your Savior, Jesus, is coming to judge the living and the dead. Paul's saying, I don't want you to ever forget that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is watching you, and you will answer this charge in his presence, the one who judges the living and the dead. And then he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is judge of the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. That's interesting because he's saying to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I charge you by this appearing and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I charge you by the hope that you long for from the very depths of your being. This glorious return of Christ, the eternal kingdom which we will enjoy forever. Timothy, we're accountable to God. How applicable is that to us today? You are accountable to God as a believer and how you live your life. The very words you speak, the places you go, the things you look at, how you treat your spouse, how you treat your kids, how you treat other believers, how you treat the lost. You are accountable. So am I. Now, this charge here is really a descriptive charge, and that means describing the situation, the historical event here that Paul is describing here for us, the charge that he's giving to young Timothy. But I also want you to understand that it's also prescriptive, that meaning that it's applicable to you and I. It's applicable to me as a pastor and to Pastor Matt and Pastor Nate, but it's also applicable to you. It's applicable in the fact that God is charging you. Paul is charging you and I in the presence of God that we are to live out our life being unashamed of the gospel. Now, he says, I charge you, that we're accountable to God. So with that in mind, let me ask you this question. How would you, knowing that God is in the audience and your life is up on this stage, how would knowing that God is in the audience, watching your life, affect how you live your life? How would it affect the way you live your life? Well, dramatically, because if you knew God was watching and God was there and you could see him, then your life would probably be different. You would think twice before you say things. You would think twice before you go to places. You would think twice before you do anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. And so, therefore, you and yourself would be conscious of the presence of God in your life. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Thank you. That's what Paul is saying to Timothy. He said, I want you to be so conscious that God is in the presence of you and the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be understanding. I want you to know this. And that's applicable to us. That we are to know. We are to understand that God is watching us every day. He is watching. And so there's the final charge. And then we come to the contents of that charge. What is he charging him to do? And so we find this here is preach the word. Verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So what he's saying here is preach the word. Now that word preach means to herald. It means to proclaim publicly. A herald in the New Testament times was someone that had a clear, boisterous voice that could be easily understood. And so he would go through the city and he would proclaim a special announcement, special events, such as the appearing of the emperor. His duties would include public announcements such as new laws or government policies. But the application is here for us today, is to proclaim publicly the word of God, whether you're a preacher or a fellow believer. We are all called to be unashamed of the gospel. Paul said it best, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we have been challenged and charged here to preach the word, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our neighborhood, at the workplace, or even at church. And we're to preach the word, the entire word of God. His complete revealed truth contained within this book completely. Timothy, preach the word. Application to us, preach the word in your life, in your words, in your actions. Preach the word. Be unashamed of the gospel. Then he says, be ready in season and out of season. Now that word, be ready, it means of serious importance or keeping careful watch or with a sense of readiness and willingness to serve the Lord at any cost and at any time. Not only should characterize every preacher, every pastor, should not only characterize me and Pastor Matt, Pastor Nate, but it should characterize every true, faithful believer. Should, all of us, be ready in season and out of season. That is our responsibility. That's why we take such efforts in giving you the knowledge that you need by giving classes on fundamentals of the faith, giving you opportunities to understand and know God in a more intimate and personal way so that you can describe in your home, in your neighborhood, and in your workplace, and even in your church why you're unashamed of the gospel, who God is, why did Jesus die on the cross, why was suffering required? Is the resurrection important? And so he's commanded us to be ready in season and out of season. And we're to be ready to do what? Well, he's very explicit here. These are the things that he wants us to do. We are to be explicit in this. Look with me to verse 2. It says, be ready in season and out of season, reprove. Let's stop with that word. That word reprove means to point out error, to show to be guilty. So the responsibility of the pastor, the preacher, is to expose the error with the idea to convict those in error. That's why we preach the complete counsel of the Word of God. It is to bring conviction. It is to point out the error of men and women who are living contrary to the Word of God. It's an appeal to the emotions of the person who's living in error. Throughout the Bible, God's prophets, His apostles, His disciples, even John the Baptist, publicly proclaimed the gospel. They preached against sin and often against particular sins of particular people. The reproof was calling people everywhere to repent. I don't know why we have such an idea that repentance is a bad thing, unless it's the attitude that we carry with us that there's dignity in man instead of depravity. We are depraved. We try to dress ourselves up as if we're really dignified people and there's nothing wrong. We got our act together, but the Scripture declares that we are depraved, sinful men and women that need the gospel. So as we look at this Scripture here, we are told that the purpose of you, Timothy, is to reprove. You're to point out error. That's my responsibility. These men's responsibility as pastors. But I would take it one step further. It is your responsibility to reprove your fellow brother or sister in Christ that you have an intimate personal relationship with, and take the Bible and show them the error of their way. Or to the lost person, to reprove them, say, listen, the Bible says for the wages of sin is death. Sin is defined as, in Romans 3:23, as coming short of the glory of God. And taking it to that point and laying it out before them, and then after the reproving comes this next word called rebuke. It means to correct. It carries this idea of refuting their error or wrongdoing with a careful biblical argument of why they shouldn't live that way. The intent of rebuke is to stir the heart of the erring person to repentance. Come to repentance. And that's why we should be unashamed of the gospel. That's why we should be unashamed of the gospel in our church, because we need to choose a church that teaches the whole counsel of God, that cries out against sin, calls men and women to repentance and confession and trust in Christ. That's our responsibility. To rebuke. And then it comes on that next word, exhort. It means in this text simply calling out someone to admonish, to warn. It also carries the idea of encouragement. So the faithful pastor is then to come alongside them in love and encourage them to a spiritual change. And that is applicable, prescriptive for you too. It's a prescription for you to come alongside your faithful family member, come alongside your neighbor, to come alongside your co-worker, to come alongside your church member that you have a relationship with them, and bring them to the point of exhorting them to repent. Now, that's not easy, and Paul's describing here to Timothy, and he will, in the next point, he will tell him, he says, now why this is important, you should do this because there's things coming ahead, and this won't be popular for you to do. It's never popular to go tell someone else that their life really stinks, and that God said it does, and that God said there's a penalty, and I've come to warn you to change because I love you enough. I don't want you to live this life, so I want you to live out the gospel. I want you to know Christ like I know Him. And so we find here the content is here, but we're to do it in such a way that it comes with complete patience. Now, that's not one of my strong points. Maybe it's not one of yours either. But that word patient means to abide under. It's translated endurance or perseverance. And Paul is speaking specifically here of patience with people, patience with church members who are stubbornly resisting the admonitions of the Word of God. It's for you in your home to take the Word of God within your home and be patient with them and to love them and to open the Word of God and share the gospel with them, but yet be patient. Man, I just want to take the gospel to someone and say, hey, it says you're a sinner. It says that sin will condemn you to hell and that God will judge you and you will spend eternity in hell. Now, do you want to receive Jesus? I want a yes. Sometimes you just have to be patient. You have to allow God the opportunity to work in his life or her life. But you got to be patient. And you do that with patience. And the point is not to become frustrated or angry, remembering that God is holding you and I also patiently accountable. And then it says this word, and teaching. It just means to instruct, which is foundational to preaching, reproving, rebuking, and exhortation. It comes through careful teaching of the Word of God that a pastor can successfully reprove, rebuke, and exhort an unbeliever who's not even a believer to believe in Christ, to trust in Christ, or to a believer to turn from the error of their way and repent and come back to Christ. But it's also a prescription for you to do the same, to be patient. And teaching. Teach your kids with patience the gospel. Teach your family with patience the gospel. And so we begin to understand here that when the gospel is preached here at Crossbridge, my question to you is, when the gospel is preached here at Crossbridge, are you unashamed of that gospel that's preached from this book? Are you saying, well, I wish I hadn't brought my friend today. I really didn't want him to hear how harsh we could be. Would you rather that or rather them hear from God, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You see, truth isn't always pleasant, but it's truth and it's needed. And so we find here the contents of what Paul is telling Timothy that he is to be faithful in. I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, and he makes it, God's watching. You're accountable. And so are all we. And then he moves on to the context. And here's the reason why. He says in verse 3 and 4, he says this, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Fact is, there are people today that would rather go and hear fluff, go to a church where they'll tell them exactly what they want to hear and exactly to tell them how good they are and how successful they can be, and they want to just pour out all this positive stuff, but yet it's not the truth. They don't speak of sin. They don't speak of repentance or confession. They don't speak of judgment. They only speak of the positive things. And Paul's telling young Timothy, he says, listen, when you preach this, some are going to walk away because they can't handle the truth. And he said, when they leave, this is why. They can't endure sound teaching. Now, he's telling him there's the need for this fearless, uncompromising preaching of the Word is all the more compelling. You need to not forget this. Don't change the message. Don't change the gospel. It is still repentance, confession, and trusting in Christ. Don't change it, Timothy, even when people can't endure sound teaching. He said, however, due to that uncompromising preaching and teaching, there will come a time in the face of opposition that there will be people, nominal believers, that's not a true believer, nominal, meaning they look and act like a believer, or the intellectual believer that knows all the things but has no relationship with God. There'll come a time when these nominal intellectual believers who are not true believers will not endure sound teaching, and they're going to leave. And they become intolerant of that sound teaching because it is a stinging rebuke to the ungodly living that they're living. And he said then that they have itching ears. The apostle foresees a time when people's ears will itch for doctrines that are pleasing and comfortable. Who doesn't want to be told that they're great and they're wonderful? Who doesn't want to be told that you're generous? Who doesn't want to be told that you're the person that should be taking this job, not the one that got promoted? Who doesn't want to hear all those things? And he said, that's what's going to happen. They're going to have itching ears, and they're going to look for a pleasing and a comfortable doctrine that will satisfy their lust, and they will accumulate this group of teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, and you can hear them on TV, get their books, you can get their DVDs, and they write all this fluff, but they neglect to tell you the fact that you and I are sinners and that God will judge the living and the dead. This lust for inoffensive preaching will cause people to turn their ears away from the truth, turn them to myths. It is a poor exchange, the sacrifice truth for fables. But this is the wretched reward of all those who refuse sound doctrine. And Paul's saying, listen, this is why, Timothy, you've got to preach the truth. And I've called God in Christ as your witness to what I'm charging you with. And what he's charging me and all of you with. That we're to be faithful to the gospel. And then he tells us the demand of that charge. The demands of that charge. Look in verse 5, if you would, please. It says in verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering, doing the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. He's saying, Timothy, as for you, here's your responsibility. Be sober-minded. That literally means to curb the controlling influences of the inordinate emotions or desires and therefore becoming reasonable. Don't let your emotions overrule your spirituality. Don't let them overcome you to the point you become angry and bitter. Don't let those things happen. Be sober-minded. Be a man that stands consistent so that when people see it, that your gospel that you preach is consistent with the word. And then he tells us in verse 5, endure suffering. That would tell you, if he tells you anything that a minister who is faithful can expect, difficulty. When you share the gospel in your home, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, and even in the church, you can expect opposition. Oftentimes it leads to persecution because the truth stings, it hurts. And so Paul is telling Timothy, listen, I want you to get in control of your emotions so that when you start enduring suffering and persecution, your anger at that doesn't overrule what you're trying to tell them biblically, to cause them to slip, cause them to get away from the gospel because your action is not in line with the gospel. So keep your emotions in control. Endure suffering while continuing to do the work of an evangelist. never stop declaring the gospel. Be unashamed, no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, be consistent. Emotions under control. You're enduring the persecution or the suffering. The words that people can say to you when you present the gospel sometimes just rip your heart in two, but he said, keep your emotions in control. And do the work of an evangelist, proclaiming the gospel at every opportunity. That's what he's saying for you to do. At every opportunity, proclaim the gospel. And he said, hey, Timothy, I want you to face the world courageously. I want you to preach Christ crucified. I want you to proclaim sin and righteousness and judgment and God's law. And he said, Timothy, I want you to declare the depravity of man and not the dignity of man. I want you to herald the second coming and warn of eternal judgment. I want you to magnify the cross, the resurrection, the atonement, grace, and faith. I want you to go beyond just teaching theology and doctrines of sanctification to preaching evangelism, to be unashamed of the gospel, which is part of your duty, which is mine and yours also. And then he ends with this, fulfill your ministry. It's a summation of just do it. Do all of it. And all your life to the very end. Just do it all your life to the very end. Paul's implication here is very simple. Don't serve God half-heartedly. Do it with all your might, and don't serve God with half your life. Do it with all your life, all your might, all your life. Be consistent. And so he's calling you and me. As he charged Timothy, he's calling us to that same charge, to the same contents of that charge, within the same context, understanding persecution is coming, and to the same demands. As the praise team comes, I want you to think about this. I want you to understand the importance of being unashamed of the gospel in the church. I recognize that I must love God with all my heart, and I have been charged along with you to proclaim the gospel. Live out the gospel and do it unashamedly. But I want to challenge you with this. How would you, knowing that God is in the audience watching, affect how you live your life? Would it change your life at all? If it does, you need to change now, because whether you see God or not, he is present. Jesus Christ is present, the judge of the living and dead. How would you, knowing that God is in the audience watching you live your life out on stage, how would it affect the way you live your life? I want to ask you this. Does your life prove that you are unashamed of the gospel? Are you a closet Christian? Ashamed, but saved. I want you to listen to the testimony of Jeremy, as he talks about witnessing to shame. Watch the video now as they lower the lights.
I first met Shane when he was in the third grade. My first impression was that he was troubled. He had gotten into a lot of altercations with his teachers, with classmates, with the principal, been suspended multiple times. When I saw him, I knew that it would be a good opportunity to kind of serve him and his family. Shane is 15 years old. I've been sharing the gospel with him for 3 years. And for whatever reason, God has has not chosen to give him eyes to see or ears to hear. When I talk about the love of God, when I talk about justice, when I talk about God's holiness, he has no context of love. He has no context of justice. He has no context of what is right and what is wrong. It's been hard for me just to watch Shane in his sinfulness really destroy his future. I plead with the Lord every single night. I know that God can save him whenever he wants to. And if he doesn't, I'm not going to say that God was bad, because he's great and he's good and he's all wise. I praise God for his justice, and everything that the Lord does is right. But I still want Shane to be saved. The message of the gospel is foolish to a dying world, but I definitely know I can't add anything to it that could cause anything to change within Shane. I just want my heart to really be burdened when I speak to him. Love people. Don't love evangelism. Because evangelism is a means by which we glorify God and love people. If we only love the act of sharing the gospel or the act of preaching, we're missing the point. Our hearts need to burn to see people saved and see their lives bring the one true God the glory that he deserves. My name is Jeremy, and I'm unashamed of the gospel.
As you think about that, I want you to think through this. We've been charged by God to preach the gospel, to endure suffering, to do the work of evangelism. So my question to you is, are you unashamed of the gospel? Are you fulfilling your ministry? Are you? Are you living out the charge that Paul gave to Timothy? Listen, so much rides on you and I doing what we're charged to do. We are responsible to God to fulfill our ministry completely. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Make every effort, every opportunity, take every effort and every opportunity to do this, to be unashamed of the gospel in your home and in your neighborhood and in your workplace and in your church. And today, if you're not, I call you, I charge you to be unashamed, to carry out the charge that Paul gave Timothy starting today. God's speaking to you today. I challenge you. Make right with God. Do right. Preach the gospel. Be unashamed.